What's up, everybody, and welcome to a special edition of How It Stacks. I am JD.
I'm Willis.
I'm Bulldog.
And we are talking Pensacon 2017. How'd you guys like?
Oh, it was fantastic.
Was it?
By the way, real quickly.
Are you going to be okay?
Yeah. We missed you people.
We did miss you guys.
Well, we missed them. We had fans at the live episode.
We did. If you weren't at the live episode, can you really call yourself a fan, Mr. Person in Australia? Dale, I'm talking to you. Guy in China who I've never met before, who's downloaded a couple of our episodes. That was around the Mega Man time.
Yeah.
But anyway, we miss you guys. That's the point of all this. That was a really good point, Professor.
I didn't want to gloss over that.
It's been a while. I think if we were to actually talk about what we've been up to since the last time we've recorded, we will be here until the next time.
We would have to have a dedicated episode.
Just to catch up. Exactly. Yeah. There it is right there.
You know what? No. If you guys want that, let us know. Hit us up on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Short, let us know. Short story to summarize
an interesting
it all
poop today.
Pawpaw's blowing up. Bulldog had another kid.
Yeah.
And yes,
I've got like three businesses I'm running. So we're all just a little busy, but we still love you guys. And we are internally grateful that you guys are tuning in right now. Cause if you were at our house, it would be kind of like a cult and we would go to jail and it would be weird.
Why would we go to jail?
Don't people go to jail?
No.
Only not if unless they do you like harm the mass people. Suicide thing.
Yeah, if you harm people. But if they just show up at your house every week, I mean, that's not a big deal.
I can't guarantee people wouldn't get harmed if they showed up at my house every week. Especially like 40 to 50 people.
Well, you are a ninja.
I am a ninja. Every other third Tuesday. So Pensacon 2017, man. It wrapped. It was another...
Should we call it the biggest Pensacon ever?
Yeah,
that's a safe assumption.
Yeah.
It is the safe assumption. Now, it was crazy. Because I think, and I'll go ahead and I'll start with kind of my interpretation of the con and kind of what my perception was this year heading into the con. So as with the 3 years prior to Pensacon 2017, the almighty con, K-H-A-N, con.
Oh, yeah. I see what you did.
See that? You like that? It's the con of cons.
Yeah.
So what was different for me about this one as opposed to the other ones is I honestly didn't really see any celebrities, quote unquote, that I was truly, truly interested in outside of Mick Foley.
Oh, man. I mean, there were a bunch of them there. Well, I was excited to see, man.
I would have loved to have gotten some interviews with them. But I mean, at the end of the day, I didn't really, you know, like I just, there wasn't that one big draw for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I had to see Mick Foley. That was a must. And then it was really cool. That was a cool story. I'll share in a little bit.
Heading
into the con, like there just wasn't a lot for me. Like I wasn't drawn in like I was years prior. There wasn't like an actor who got me into the business, or there wasn't, you know, voice acting's never really been big for me. That sounds terrible, but like I fully respect and have nothing but admiration for voice act talent, but it's never been a draw for me. It's never been that thing that, oh my God, I gotta go, this guy was the voice of this. It's never done it for me.
Well, Carlos Alazaki, man.
I met him. I told you that story?
No.
Don't. Dude, it was, okay, so
jumping into this?
We may as well.
Okay. Yeah, okay, so I met Carlos, the voice of Rocco, right?
Yes, voice of Rocco, voice of a lot of other things. I'll dig up his...
So with the media passes and the connections that we have, we were able to get into certain aspects of the cosplay contest. And while we were waiting for everyone to kind of show up and figure out where we could go to get our interviews and the backstage footage, this guy walks in, he's got a book bag on, he's holding like a Tupperware container or something, I think, I can't quite remember, and he starts sitting there and he's like, hey, I'm Carlos, and he's like looking around the room, and I was like, what's up, Carlos? No idea who he is. And he's like, hey, and then we begin that awkward like looking up and down, like, you know, each of like the other person knows that we both don't really kind of belong there. So we're like that look, you know what I mean? Like he belongs there obviously way more than I do.
Yeah.
But he's waiting on a ride. And so I was like, Carlos. And he looks over at me, you know,
is that how you respond to everyone named Carlos?
Kind of. Yeah. And so we start looking at each other, and then like all of a sudden the conversation just like organically breaks off into just conversation. And then out of nowhere, like somebody walks up and they're like, dude, I loved you in Rocco's Modern Life. And I'm like, oh my God, this is the voice of Rocco's Modern Life. Holy crap. Okay.
Cool. Rocco and Spunky.
Yeah. So now I know who this guy is. We just start shooting the breeze about travel and flying and getting through TSA and all that. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm going for it. I'm just going to plug the show. Hey, dude, we're big fans. Here's our card. Look us up. If you ever want to be on, let us know. End of the card. We shook hands. You know, and the next day, I think I was walking around with you. This is day three. We had walked back into the celebrity room.
Yeah.
And you were like, hey, I just wanted to thank you for signing my poster. And you shook his hand. He looked up at me and he was like, hey, man, it's good to see you again. And I'm like, you too, Carlos. And we shook hands. That was it.
I admittedly gushed a little bit on him. A tiny bit.
Yeah.
Teeny tiny bit. But it was just very much, hey, you know, I really dug the show. I kept it classy.
So,
sat and we talked for a little while. Super, super nice guy. Really cool people. And, I had this promotional poster for, the Marvel Comics, Rocco's Modern Life and Ren and Stimpy comics.
Yeah.
Right. I've had this thing since I was little. It hung on my wall for years, and I didn't know. It was one of those things that you take down and you forget you have.
Yeah.
And you know, it's digging around one day, you're like, holy shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and there's this, and so there's this really big, really cool full-size poster. And not only was Carlos Alazaki there, Bob Camp, the creator, lead animator of Ren and Stimpy, was there.
Oh yeah.
And dude, he was one of my big draws. Like we talked about this a bunch going in when we were trying to put in requests for stuff and all that kind of thing. And I was like, dude, I want to talk to Bob Camp. Like, and he was super nice guy. He was sitting there, he was doing commissions for people, like the whole time. And the commissions looked fucking awesome. Super nice guy. He signed my poster and drew me a little sketch of Ren and Stimpy having an argument on the poster.
That's awesome.
Oh yeah. Now I'm super pumped about that. The other, who else? Well, Henry Winkler, man.
Yeah.
He Fonz.
Seems cool. Yeah.
Admittedly, I grew up watching old TV.
Yeah.
So like a lot of my friends never watched Happy Days.
Yeah.
You know, the friends I have my age, you know. A lot of them never watched stuff like Dick Van Dyke or Taxi or that kind of thing.
Taxi was good.
But, so I dug the shit out of Happy Days. I watched it every night when I was a kid. And, you know, also Henry Winkler's comedy work these days is incredible.
His guest spots are amazing, man. Yeah. Like, I love his guest work. Like, even on we just rewatched Parks and Rec, and he's brilliant on that.
Yeah,
he's fantastic. When was he on
Parks and Rec? He's John Ralphio's dad.
Yeah, he's like in the last couple
of
seasons.
Oh, holy crap. Yeah. I haven't seen that show in a couple of years. He's the doctor.
Yeah, he puts out, he goes after Tom's business for like no real reason.
I forgot about that.
Puts him out of business. Yeah. And then goes to try and financially back him when he becomes successful. And Tom tells him to. I mean, it's a cool story.
I had completely forgotten about that.
He's their doctor. Like, he's their OBG.
Yeah.
Like, it's funny,
man. It's so awkward. I completely forgot about that. Oops.
His comedy stuff is great. He's super, super nice. I got a hug from the Fonz.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. I'm now inherently cooler.
Mick Foley. So I walked up. This is the only story I got about meeting the guy.
You know? Oh, okay.
So
I got another Mick Foley story, but it's not about meeting him. Go ahead.
So I walk into the celebrity room, and this is a Saturday morning. Well, I'll get back to Friday night because there was a lot of cool people we met this weekend. Jim, Friday night Friday night fire pit guy.
Yeah.
Who's like just the kindest man.
He's forever our buddy.
Forever our friend. Like he's like
about the doctor.
Huh?
The guy at the hotel.
The guy at the hotel who literally was like, you want a cigar?
He's not a doctor. He's a, he worked for
HP.
There was also that older couple.
That guy's a doctor from Colorado. He's got heated sidewalks or driveways. Anyway,
super nice people.
See, they're all nice people, but Jim takes the cake for just manners, politeness, and like the dude's like literally serving like beer to like our group. You know, just to be kind because he didn't want anybody to feel left out. You know what I mean? Like just cool conversation. Just a good dude.
Yeah.
Jim, we love you. Thank you, buddy. Hopefully we'll bump into each other at another convention or whatever. Thank you.
That was a lot of fun. I sat outside and played Weird Al and Jonathan Colton.
That was like probably the highlight of my life of the damn weekend. It was just fun, chilling by a fire, listening to Gabe play. It was great.
Yeah. It was a straight up nerd themed set too. Yeah. It was all Jonathan Colton, Paul and Storm.
Oh, great.
I think I did some Stephen Lynch. I did a good bit of Weird Al.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that was a ton of fun. Yeah. And Jim and, Dr. What's his name and his lovely wife.
Dr. Heated Floors.
You guys are awesome.
They were big fans of yours. Like you were they were into it, man.
Yeah, they were digging into it.
Yeah, it's like I felt bad because it was about midnight. It starts pouring down rain. We were exhausted from covering the con. I'm drunk.
Yeah, I got my arm twisted into play, and it turned out to be a lot of fun, but I didn't want to do it.
I know. And then we come back inside, and they're like, "Y'all want to stay up some more?" Like, dude, we got to be up at 8 to cover this thing. No, we crashed. Yeah. I think that was the last time we really got to hang out with him. But so Mick Foley, right? So Saturday, Jared and I are walking around, and we're like, okay, kind of mapping out where we're going to talk to people, what we're going to look for, and just kind of that. We're scouting out the con. And we get to the celebrity room, and it's still real early in the day. So there's not a whole lot of lines. And I walk up, and I'm like, hey, I'm just media. I just want to walk through and just kind of see the celebrities, and I'm going to leave. I'm not doing anything. So I'm like, okay, cool. So they let me in, and I walk up, and Mick Foley's chatting with a, not a handler, but, he was a volunteer.
Yeah.
And I walk up, and I'm like, and I instantly walk to the table, and I wanted to buy his book and have him sign it. Well, they didn't have it. So I was like, cool, I'll just, whatever, and I'm reading the list. And you can buy an autographed, customed Socko and get a picture for
I saw that for
$40 and I was like that's a fucking steal and I was like here's my money and so they take my money and I walk over and he still hasn't really acknowledged me yet and he kind of does the side glance he's like hey hi and he reaches over to take my hand
for the people who don't know Mick Foley his special move in wrestling to use a video game term was to take a sock out of his Speedo wrap it over his hand he called it Socko. And then he would force his fingers down your throat.
And choke you out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Socko. Great.
Anyway, continue the story.
So I paid for the sock out of the pants, but it was a fresh sock.
Yeah, yeah. It was the first person I saw with one.
They walked up with a damn bag of Hanes socks, opened them up, set them on the desk, and walked off. I'm like, this is fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
And so
it's like, well, last year, oh man, I'm blanking on his name. The guy from Rocky Horror. Damn it.
That's something I've never seen.
Brad from Rocky Horror. Anyway.
Mike Ensley right now is screaming
at whatever device
he's listening to, he's yelling at you.
he might have just broken his phone.
Yeah.
he threw it across the room. It's like,
I fully expect a Twitter blast about this right now.
Hang on. I'll get it.
Okay,
I'll get it.
I'm going to finish the story.
Yeah.
So I go in the room and Mick Foley hadn't really acknowledged me yet. And finally, he looks at me and I'm like, hey, man, it's a pleasure to meet you. I'm Jonathan P. Okay, cool. And he just kind of brushes it off, and I think it was just in the moment or whatever. I don't know. It just kind of got brushed off. And I was like, well, damn, not another meet my idol. And they're like, fuck you type situation. So I was like, okay,
Barry
cool.
fucking Bostwick. That's it.
There it is.
Sorry. Go ahead.
So I felt kind of brushed off. And then we start talking and then there's questions getting thrown at him from behind me and shit. And we start going into full on nerd business conversation about the current state of WWE's Raw. And we're talking about the talent and how they're getting pushed and they're this and they're this. And one's a heel. They're getting pissed because they're not getting their limelight and they should be. And the part timers are coming. I mean, it was a business style conversation,
That's cool. That's awesome.
About it was great about the young guys making spots for the big guys and the part timers. And when I say part timers with the WWE universe, that's people that have made it and left that come back part time just to get, extra money and draw attention back to the WWE, Goldberg, The Rock, et cetera. And so we're talking about all that, and it was really cool conversation. And he's talking about how he might not be on Raw later and because of this battle, him and whatever having. And then he's like, oh, do you want to draw me a sock? I'm like, yeah. It's like, you want some blood on it? And I'm like, yeah. And he takes out this fake red marker. And
that's awesome.
And he puts little fake blood on there with his red marker. And he's like, it's all about subtlety when it comes to blood. And he starts shit. And then he's like,
quote of the night so far.
He's like, you get a picture, right? And I'm like, yes. He's like, well, dude, you're looking jacked underneath there. You work out? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, You can tell, man. You look pretty pretty ripped up underneath that jacket you're wearing. At that moment, he could have literally slapped me, kicked me in the balls, told me my mom was terrible, whatever. I wouldn't have cared.
Yeah.
Right? I got a compliment from Mick Foley. I was like, F and right, you know? And so we get up and I tell him my story, you know, and Mick Foley was a big part of like my childhood, you know, especially when I went through all my and y'all know a little bit of my past, but like when I went through a real trying time when I was a teenager, Mick Foley, I gravitated toward his character a lot. He was the underdog on Raw. And so like it was just cool to, you know, to
He's also a goddamn psychopath.
He was goddamn crazy. But it was neat because he was the underdog who was all, you just kind of always rooted for him. And it was just cool to meet him. And I shook his hand and thanked him for all he did and done his work and how it inspired me. And, you know, he shook my hands like, man, that means a lot. And he broke from entertaining the crowd to make eye contact, shake the hand and say thank you. Which to me, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, it was a cool moment for me. So I shook his hand, took my sock, and I went out feeling like a kid in a candy store. And then I met Captain Sparkles.
It's technically Captain Sparkliness.
But Captain Sparkliness.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she was, I forget what she cosplayed as that day, but Sunday she came back as freaking Cloud with a badass
Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, with a magnetic freaking Buster Sword.
A magnetically clipped Buster Sword. Yeah. So there's a magnet inside the sword. So when she puts it behind her back, it clicks.
Dude, she
in
looked
place.
Badass.
That's awesome.
She looks cool as hell.
Yeah, so, yeah. You showed me a couple of pictures. That was a great costume.
She killed us.
Well, the best part is because it's her costume, she does it so much, she just does it nonchalantly.
Yeah.
Right? So you're like, she's like, I was expecting her to like put it behind her back and like kind of like finagle it and try to like clip it in place. Yeah. And she was just like, clink.
Here's the cool part.
we both looked at her like, No, you can't skip over that. Like, what just happened?
What was crazy is like, is you know, you're so used to seeing like Cloud carry that big sword, you expect it to have like weight. And obviously it's a cosplayer, so it's not going to have weight, but the way that she was like moving it around, you're like, that's fucking Cloud right there.
And if it did have weight, they wouldn't let you take it into the comp.
Exactly. Oh, she was really cool. And we got her interview, actually. We'll get it up. It's actually a video feed, but Captain Sparkliness, thank you. You were awesome. Her Facebook page and Twitter is very much Captain Sparkliness, right? Yep. And Instagram too.
So speaking of weaponry at the convention, I stopped by. One of the first things I did when I got there on Friday, just poking around, I saw a weapons check table.
Yeah.
And so I walked over and I talked to him at one of the weapons check tables. And,
yeah, they're there. They're there every year.
Yeah. They're there every year. It's not a big deal. You would expect it at any con. And it dawned on me. I had to ask this guy one question, and that's the same question the only question you would ask this guy. What is the craziest thing somebody's tried to bring in?
Yep.
Said the craziest thing he saw somebody try to bring in was an honest to God hammer from a hardware store.
Oh, wow. Really?
What? Yeah, and honest.
Why would you?
It was part of his costume. Maybe he came as Captain Hammer. No, Captain Hammer didn't use hammers. Yeah. The hammer was his penis.
Yeah.
anyway, but that one was number one, and runner up was a fake baseball bat in a Negan costume with real barbed wire wrapped around it.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I got a funny story about that. So it was like day two.
Needless to say, neither of those things got into the convention.
Right. It was day two or three, and we're rushing to get to meet up and find each other. Right. I don't know my whole day. That's a big blur of a weekend. And so I had this big tactical book bag, and it's got like pockets for pockets for pockets. Right. And they're just full of everything. So I was carrying batteries for him, food for me, whatever. Right.
Yeah.
And I remember like, you know, how you go through security and the most of the time they're just like, hey, what's up? And you just walk through. Hey, what's up? Walk through. Hey, what's up? Walk through. I mean, I've been doing this for 4 years now. Right. And I think I've been asked to have my bag checked like once. Yeah. And I think it was when I was carrying a fake musket, you know, that one year I cosplayed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I remember I was going through security and this, and it was the front door weapons check. And they're like, I need to check your bag. And it's this older lady. And I'm like, you need one, check my bag. And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, I start laughing my ass off. And I'm like, have the fuck at it. And I set it on that table and I stand back and I watch. And they're like, well, you can go stand over there. I was like, no. I would like to see you go through every single one of those pockets.
There's seriously like 30 pockets.
Yeah, I was like, nope. I'm going to watch. And all she did was open up the main one, look in, flip it back up, and she hands it back.
Yeah.
Here you go. And I was like, deuces.
And as I was on the way there on Friday, I made the smartest decision I made all weekend. I rented a bicycle.
Yeah, that was brilliant, dude.
Dude, that made my whole weekend so much more pleasant. Downtown Pensacola is great for, it's a really good, it's a bicycle friendly area.
I hate that I didn't. I will.
There are like racks to lock. There are bike shaped bike racks all over downtown where you can lock up a bike. It cost me, I think it was $10. It was like 10 or 15 bucks a day.
It was 10 a day.
Yeah, yeah. 10 a day.
You spent 30 bucks for the weekend to rent a bicycle.
Yeah.
And that probably saved you on that and gas.
Dude, all over not having to drive my car or find a place to park. I was able to get around from panel to panel 1,000 times faster.
Yeah.
It took maybe, I think, to get from the Bay Center to the Sanger, in regular con traffic, I think might have taken me 10 minutes.
That's phenomenal. Because we drove and then Vicky got there. And it took us
10 minutes because we had to find parking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, that's another thing is like when you got from the hotel to the Bay Center, if you got any time after 10 or 11, there was no parking, even for media. And so you'd have to fight. I remember like day two, we were like, can we just park on the damn grass? And he's like, yeah, sure. You know. So back to day one. We're all over the place. So day one, I mean, we get there and for me, I have a tradition. So every con, I always walk the vendor floor first. I just want to see what's kind of out there, what to expect, if there's anything particular I want to go back to, whatever.
Yeah.
And the vendor floor, but didn't really have a huge draw for me this year. Like there was a lot of
neat stuff. I spent a good bit of time on the vendor floor this year.
I didn't, man. Like I went a couple times and I got some shirts. That was a funny story.
Got a couple fights.
Should I share that story?
I mean, you made good on it. So
I did. I think you should. All right. Anyway, so day one, I get to it. I walk the floor, check it out. Not a whole lot interests me. A couple t-shirts, and there was some stuff I wanted to get, particularly for Vicky, the hotness, and it was a Vault Boy shirt, or it was a Vault Tech shirt.
Yeah,
Vault Tech shirt from Fallout 4, which is currently her favorite video game. You were drinking RC Cola.
I am drinking RC Cola.
No shit, that is awesome. If you only had a Moon Pie, you'd fit right in the South.
I know, right?
That's the only drink to drink in the South.
What the hell ever? That's ridiculous soda. At least it isn't metal.
We didn't have Chick-fil-A at lunch in school.
Okay? Or McDonald's pizza.
But there's only one city in the entire U.S. that still has that.
I will go there for some McDonald's pizza.
You should, and you'll have to wait 30 minutes for your...
I like RC Cola better than Pepsi.
Yeah, Pepsi sucks.
I haven't had RC Cola in forever.
Neither have I. It's good. I just remember Pepsi being awful.
My dad always drank it, so we always drank it.
Yeah.
Vault Tech.
So yeah, vendor floor day one. Not a lot going on. I'm just more people watching because this year I am changing the way that I cover, but I'll get to that after the story. So Vault Tech. So I'm walking around. I'm finding, looking for shirts to get for Vicky. She, and I see this Vault Tech shirt, and it's for this real soft like t-shirt material. Like American Apparel style clothing. Real high quality shirt. And I go up there and I'm like, hey, how much is the shirt? And he's like, $20. And I'm like,
yeah, it's like the going rate for a shirt.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I hand him the 20, take the shirt, wrap it up, head wide on my way. The next night or the, no, it was later that night.
Yeah, it was the same day.
Same day. And so at this point we had gone to the Tin Cow and I embarked on what I would consider an epic cheat meal of all cheat meals.
Oh yeah.
Where I had pork rinds and cheddar. Fries, chips, 3 beers, 2 spiked milkshakes,
not pork rinds and cheddar fries. Pork rinds and cheese sauce.
It dipped in cheese sauce.
Yeah, so pork rinds dipped in cheese.
Then truffle fries with my burger and then more alcohol. So I was feeling pretty brave.
Yeah, a couple of those alcohols were milkshakes too, weren't they?
Oh, they were delicious. Yeah. God, they were good. Oh my God.
Even though you didn't have the themed milkshake.
I didn't have the themed milkshake.
I did have the themed bun.
Yeah.
It was just
pretzel
bun
kind of bored me. Yeah. Anyway, Tin Cow is delicious, so advertise or let sponsor us. Give us stuff. So we go back to the Bay Center and we're wrapping up and I go and I see another table with shirts. And I'm like, cool, how much are your shirts? And I'm like, $10. And I'm like, no shit. $10 is a lot cheaper than $20.
Okay, so this is not how it went down. Okay.
We got back to the Bay Center. Yes, we did. And there was a 2 t-shirt booths across from each other.
Okay.
There was one here and there's one here. And okay. I bought 2 shirts for $10. One the crippled guy from Fallout 4, when you get hurt and you're injured, right? I got that shirt, and then I got a Brotherhood of Steel shirt for myself. Well, then I turn around, and Jared's like, I'm looking for an Aperture Industries polo. That'd be awesome to find. And I'm like, okay, cool, right? So he turns around, and literally the very next table beside us has that fucking polo shirt.
Like, they have exactly what I'm looking for.
Exactly.
So I do photography as well, and I've previously just worn plain black polos, but I've tried cotton polos, not a huge fan, so I wanted to get one of the
like dry fit. Let's just say dry fit.
Sure, yeah. That's a brand, but whatever. It's essentially a dry fit polo. But I was like, I was trying to find something like that. And I thought the Aperture logo would be hilarious to wear to work, like for photography stuff. Yeah. Because anybody who gets it would find it funny, and everybody else who doesn't would go, oh, Aperture camera stuff. Okay, sure, whatever. Well, so I was like, all right, do you guys have any Aperture shirts? And he was like, yeah, cool. I was like, all right, well, do you have any polos? And he was like, yeah, we've got a couple. I said, do you have an Aperture Laboratories polo? And he was like, actually, I have exactly what you're looking for. And he holds up a freaking dry fit Aperture logo, black with white text.
That's awesome.
It was like, I mean, it could not have, it felt like that Gilligan's Island moment where you're like, if we only had this, well, as a matter of fact, I happen to pack that.
It was amazing. So, you know, I go get that. And then somehow.
So we're at that table. He's getting this shirt. And like all of a sudden I see that same Vault-Tec shirt at this table. And everybody's like, how? And I hear this one guy go, how much are your shirts? And the guy goes, $10. Not to me, but to the guy over here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, And I asked, I was like, how much are your shirts? And the guy like points down at the table and he's like, $10 on that side of the table.
Yeah. Okay. On the side of the table that you were standing
at. No, that I was not standing.
Oh, okay.
That's an important part of the story.
Where the other guy was standing.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. See, now I follow you.
We're at an L-shaped table.
L-shaped.
So the short table is the $10 side.
So me hearing that these shirts are $10 and knowing that I paid $20 for the exact same shirt that this guy has, I'm like, man, I feel like I got gypped. So I walk back over to the other table and I'm like, hey man, can I talk to you? And he's like, yeah, okay, what's up? I was like, I'm just gonna level with you. I saw this exact shirt at this table over here for $10. I was like, you sold it to me for $20. I was like, here's what we can do. You can either reimburse me the $10, you can give me another shirt, or I can bring you mine back and you can return me all my money. I was like, that's kind of how this needs to go down.
Or he could say all sales are final and give you the finger.
He didn't, because originally when I bought the shirt, I was like, if it doesn't fit, I can return it.
Yeah, right? I just wanted to make it clear that was absolutely an option.
And he goes, yep. And I was like, okay, cool. So what I did then, but he already told me I could return it. So then I am like, all right, well, he's like, I can't make that decision. You talk to my manager. I'm like, okay, fine. So his manager comes around and I explain the same story to him. And he's like, well, we don't do refunds or returns. And I was like, no, you do. Because this guy said you did. And he's like, and he does the classic look over to the guy, and the guy completely sells me out. And he goes, I kind of said something like that, I guess. And I was like, really, bro? And he's like, well, and I'm like, and the guy's like, well, man, you know, normally it's not our policy to return something. I was like, no, I understand that. I was like, but it's bad business. And he already said you would. So look, man, you can either give me my $10 back, you can give me another shirt, or I can go get the shirt and return it, and you can give me $20 and you lose the sale. We're both businessmen here. And that doesn't sound like a great option, does it? And I was like, and he's like,
you sound like such an asshole right now.
I was, and I was because I had the same story like three times. And
like the longer the story goes on, the more I want to slap you.
Oh, it gets fucking amazing. And the guy's like, well, fine, then we'll just refund the shirt. And I'm like, not a problem, dude. I'll be back. And so like I was looking at my watch. And I was like, man, I can make it back to the hotel and back and return that shirt. Go get the other one. Bam, boom. And then I had this brilliant idea. And this is terrible. Mike, I apologize. This didn't happen. Cat, it didn't happen. Steve, it didn't happen. Whoever other VPs or VIPs, whatever, Pensacon, it didn't happen. So then I'm like, you know what? Screw that. I'll just go buy the $10 shirt, return it, and get my money back. Right?
Yeah.
And so I walk back over there and I'm like, you got this in a small? He's like, as a matter of fact, we do. And I'm like, good, I'll take it. And he's like, $22, sir. And I'm like, excuse me? He's like, the shirt's $22, man. And I'm like, no, you said it's 10. He's like, no, those shirts are 10. That one's 22. And I'm like, holy shit. I was like, so you're telling me it's $2 more than the table that is over there? And he's like, well, yeah, I think so. And I'm like, huh. So I'm like, I'm good, man. I'm good. I was an impulse, but I'm fine. And so I turn away from the table feeling like the biggest piece of shit. I mean, talking like,
as well you should.
I totally deserve the shit feels. Yeah. Totally deserve the shit feels. And I turn to Jared and he's looking at me and he's like, so you didn't get it? And I was like, and I told him the story. He's laughing his ass off.
Well, he was at the getting the initial Vault-Tec or trying to do the initial return. I was out of earshot looking at something else.
Oh yeah.
And then I caught like the tail end of like, I was trying to return it, but I didn't know all the details. Yeah. And this is when I learned it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I was like, are you talking about like there was not enough egg to be on my face. There was not enough crow for me to eat. So I'm walking and I'm like, man, I dude. And I just, and it hit me and I was like, oh, God dang And so I walked back up to the table, the original $20 shirt table where I asked for the refund. Yeah. And the guys see me coming and they do this epic fucking eye roll that will like, if to end all eye rolls. And they have that like
in unison. Yeah,
like it looked like if I were to put it in like, you know, Geek Squad returning things like things, I would have been the girl with the manager haircut, like, you know, walking up to be with the screaming kid, you know, covered in candy. Like it is bad. So I'm walking up there and it's like, for me, it's like the Green Mile. I'm like, and like, it took forever. And I walk up, the manager instantly quits talking to the customer he was with and approaches me. And I literally, I'm like, I am sorry. I am so sorry. Dude, I misheard that table. I was absolutely wrong. I acted way out of line and I just wanted to apologize to you. I was like, I'm sorry, man. I thought I was getting taken advantage of. That's not a really cool feeling. So I just wanted you to know that I'm sorry that you guys were right and I was wrong. I was like, I don't know if you hear that a lot, but I just wanted to apologize and shake your hand and thank you for trying to work with me anyway. And I shook his hand and he's like, I was going to go buy a bunch of shirts. That's
the manager was like, if it was true, I was going to go buy their $10 shirts. Like,
we just can't do refunds. I was like, man, it's not about that anymore. I just want to let you know that I am sorry that I acted like an ass and that I was wrong. I'm sorry.
And so you bought the shirt from that table.
Well, he had already bought it.
That was
the big issue is he had already bought it earlier in the day.
And so then I went back to the other guy and he was the employee. He was not as kind as the manager was to receive my apology.
Yeah.
But he's like, okay, thank you. You know,
well, he probably got chewed out by the manager.
Yeah. For the returns thing. Well, that was like, in my defense, if you're going to tell me you can return something, whatever, not the point. But anyway, I apologized to both of them, shook both of their hands and kind of avoided the table the rest of the time I was but that was the Vault Tech.
After you have a dickhead moment like that, I don't think you get to say in my defense about shit. You just get to say I apologize.
I didn't say in my defense, but I did apologize. And I mean, and I walked back up and I like in front of Jared and the whole damn world was like, dude, I fucked up and I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, that's awesome.
So Friday, I did. And so headed up to this con, the biggest thing for me was I wanted to change the way I covered it. We talked about this briefly before we started.
Yeah, we all kind of did this a little
bit. And I think for me, it's not con fatigue. It's just, I wanted to try something different. So this year I went, like you said, as a con goer. And I'll let you guys talk about your day one and then we'll just kind of segue into that.
Why, thank you. Yeah. That's awfully sweet of you.
You're welcome. It is our show.
So I got there a little bit later on Friday than you guys did. I walked in there and I was just kind of getting my bearings. I had, when I got into town, I met you guys at the hotel and they dropped the bike off at the hotel because they're awesome. I'm going to find the name of that company. If any of you people are in Pensacola, I don't mind giving them a plug because they were fucking awesome.
Sponsor us. We want free things.
Yeah.
Free bike rides next year. Pensacola.
Yeah.
I'll talk about you.
Emerald Coast Tours.
Something
like it was Emerald Coast Tours. But anyway, like as I pulled up to the, like just in time for me to pull up, drop my bags off in the room and go back downstairs, they dropped the bike off with a lock and a helmet and everything. And from that point on through the weekend, I was just tooling around downtown Pensacola on the bicycle, going from panel to panel, grabbing something to eat when I felt like it, spending time on the vendor floor, talking to people at the convention. Just I probably asked 1,000 people, hey, how are you enjoying the con? And
what was the general consensus?
What do you think? it was fantastic. Everybody loved it.
I just wanted it on the record.
Yeah, that makes sense. Makes sense.
On the record.
But yeah, no, everybody I talked to was having a blast. The first of my two celebrity stories ties into this, and this is technically Saturday. Okay, never mind. I'll start with the Friday celebrity story and save the Saturday celebrity story for when we get to Saturday. So before I go down there, I find out that, Glenn Ellen Anderson from Stranger Things, her parents are in a community choir with my parents, because they live not far from here. And on top of that, she's also a big Pawpaw's Medicine Cabinet fan. So ashamedly, I have not watched Stranger Things yet. Yeah.
You really should.
Oh, yeah. It is. It is pretty fucking stellar.
I get the death stare from everybody I say that.
Well, not a death stare. Mine's almost more of a pity stare.
Yeah.
For me, he hasn't watched it yet.
For me, so this is what it was. What Stranger Things is like, as I was there with you. Everybody, like, when people rave about how good shit is, I don't want to watch it because it usually never lives up to the hype for me, right?
Yeah.
And so I avoided Stranger Things like the plague.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I went to Pensacon and I saw so many goddamn cosplays of that show, a Netflix show that has pretty much zero advertising outside of Netflix, that had, like, thousands, like, hundreds of people were dressed up like that cosplay. One of my best friends was.
Yeah.
And I was like, there might be something to this. And then we came back, started it Sunday night. Holy balls.
Yeah.
It's good.
So, so I walk up, I'm walking through the celebrity rooms. This wasn't immediately after getting there. I'd spent some time on the vendor floor and stuff like that. I walked into the celebrity room and eventually I find her table and I was like, it was an awkward walk up. Like I walk up, I'm like, hi. So I'm told that your parents are in choir with my parents and you're a fan of my band. And her and the people who were, you know, who were taking care of her stuff, you know, because at these things, you know, it's awkward to hand a celebrity money, you know, when you pay for an autograph or something like that, you always pass the money off to somebody else.
Yeah.
Because it cheapens the experience if you have to pass it off to the person that you're taking a picture with or getting something signed with. I get that. So every celebrity has someone with them, a publicist or something like that. Hers at this were her parents. And so when I said that when I told her about the choir thing, she just confusedly looks up over at both sides, like over both shoulders, looks at her mom, looks at her dad, and then looks at me and goes, what? And I said, my name's Gabe Willis. And then at that point, her parents recognized my last name. And so their faces lit up just a little bit. They were like, oh, you're Marcus's kid. And I was like, I play in Pawpaw's medicine cabinet. And Glenn Ellen's face just lights up. And her and her whole family are just, are so delighted to see me. It was really, really cool to meet them, but it was an interesting experience walking up to a celebrity table and being told how big of a fan of you they are.
Yeah, that's
pretty like cool. That was really, really cool. That was really cool. And that just put a smile on my face for the whole weekend. I spent a lot of time talking to Glenn Ellen's parents and Glenn Ellen when I could. Yeah. You know, she was a guest at the con. She was busy. But and had so much fun talking with all of them. I sat and watched the Stranger Things panel with her folks. And the other family members of the people that were up there, it was really cool.
That's awesome.
They were super, super nice people. So that was celebrity story number one. Friday, I'd have to pull up the app and see what I went to on Friday. On Friday, I mostly just kind of got my bearings and, you know, floated around town. We went and got dinner and we talked to some people like, you know, convention goers.
For me, this year, I really wanted to focus on like the people, man, the experience that people were having. So day one, that's really much all I did.
Yeah.
And it was pretty much the consensus as it was the years prior that it was just people were having a good time, man. And then Saturday, I think it was Saturday or it was Sunday. It was probably one of the best moments for me. And it was something trivial, man. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But Bulldog, what about you Friday?
Good. I followed Fantastic, you around most of Friday, and it was great.
You had a good time.
It was great. I was this year more than ever.
So
I
Saturday.
Was yeah. I was lugging. I was lugging video gear around. So it was good. It was a fun experience. But I don't have any.
You were like Patsy from Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You were the pack mule.
Yep.
Not Friday. Yeah. I don't remember you carrying around all your camera gear. Did you?
I had stuff with me.
I thought Saturday. I know Saturday we did. Saturday
I had stuff with me Friday too.
Okay. So Saturday morning, we wake up.
By the way, this entire weekend, we are worried that Bulldog's wife is going to go into labor at any second.
Yeah.
At any second.
The con is the 17th, 18th, and 19th. Her due date is the 23rd.
When did she actually have the baby?
The 21st.
Like so 2 days after the convention.
Yeah.
So there was a few times where it was like I got texts and was like, yeah, contractions are starting.
I was with him and like he'd get a text. Okay. And he's like, oh shit, they're a couple minutes apart. Cool. Are you able to carry all this stuff back? will you watch this? Yeah, gotcha, buddy. So Saturday morning we get up, do the breakfast thing, and I think we got there bright and early. Real quick, I don't remember their names, but I do want to give a shout out to the Pensacon team for helping us pass out flyers for our panel on Saturday.
Yeah, the volunteers were awesome.
The volunteers were great. The captains were great. Security, you know, they worked with us when we didn't have our passes and helped us get to
where. And they didn't have to do that.
And they didn't have to do that at all. So thank you guys for that, Mike. Your team was really amazing. I've never had an issue with anybody Pensacon related from year one to current. The base center staff, different story. but I think that the Pensacon staff, that the team that they put together, has done a phenomenal job every year.
For the record, I've never had a problem out of the Bay Center staff.
I just attract trouble. I'm a troublemaker.
Yeah, I was about to say, maybe I'm just not an asshole.
Yeah, maybe.
you attract trouble, real or imaginary.
Really or imaginary. People hate me, or I make up people who hate me.
You make up deals that don't actually exist and then yell at people for the imaginary deal that doesn't
exactly
exist.
Exactly right. And then I apologize for said deals. I'll never live that down. Now that it's on air for permanent public record.
Oh, yeah.
So Pensacon day two, Saturday, we get up, we go to the convention center, and we're preparing for our panel, actually. And this is when we met Captain Sparkliness. This is when I met Mick Foley. And this is, we started our interviews and we met like people dressed as Superman, and we met like, it was
I'm looking forward to seeing
them. It was a father and son.
It was a father and son. One, the son was a Jedi Knight and the father was Superman. And he looked like a great Superman. Yeah. He was a good looking Superman.
Yeah.
And, their interview was really cool. And I tried to interview him in character, which was fun.
Oh yeah.
You know? And like, yeah. I was like, you gotta be Superman. He's like, yeah. And so I'm like, so how are you going to be Batman? And he'd try and like to articulate how he would be Batman if he was Superman fighting Batman. It was neat.
Yeah.
And then, this little Jedi boy was, he was like, he was popping off about Batman. And I was like, you can't say that cause your dad's here. And he's like, oh, it's cool. It's my dad. He'd win, or Jedi, you know, so that was neat. And then actually I think that
he does have a Jedi in his corner,
right? That puts us at our panel.
We interviewed Batman and stuff.
We did interview a Batman and another Superman, and that one was a little different. It was a different interview, you know, but it was still fun.
It's we caught people off guard. We didn't set these up ahead of time.
Yeah.
So to come up with an argument on the spot.
This was all on the spot, just random interviews with people who were attending the convention.
Yeah, cameras and stuff. Yeah. And, I mean, we're just trying to get people in costumes, things like that. And we saw something cool. Hey, do you want an interview with me? And my name's Jay.
We got a female Dr. Doom, which was really
female Dr. Doom, which was really neat.
That's cool.
I love the gender swaps. I think that's really cool. And a female Dr. Doom for me was like, that's freaking awesome.
Yeah. She do a mask?
Or? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Full costume.
Sweet. Okay. I'm looking forward to that.
She looks good. And so we were walking through, this is just kind of what we decided we were going to do. And so we would talk to the cosplayers, interview them, and we would do it off camera first. Hey, I'm Jonathan. This is what we're trying to talk about. Feel free to be as live and animated as you like, you know. And for me, it was a good learning experience because it was a reminder and a refresher that not everybody likes to go off the book.
Not everybody has a background in improv.
And so... that was a fun interview, and we got a little bit of back and forth between a character, a cosplayer actually being Superman in an interview, and another cosplayer actually being Batman in an interview.
Yeah.
And they would fight, and they would argue back and forth, and I was mediating the argument, which was fun.
I'm trying to remember, I got stuck doing something in the morning, and because I was pissed because I really wanted to go see the Henry Winkler
Q&A. Writing either songs or questions for the night.
That's what it was. I was writing, I had to write question stuff and, for hashtag,
which we'll talk about, which was a huge success.
Yeah. Yeah.
I went over great that night, and it is okay because per title rules, I am, I'm guaranteed a rematch.
Just nice. That.
Good. It's WWF.
Rules. Now you still have to wear the loser pin though.
That's true.
Yeah. Scotty got him a pin that says loser.
He's a little bitch.
But I think you also get two winner pins.
I have more wins than losses.
Yeah.
That's a true story. So anyway,
still got to wear that loser pin though.
I do. do. So your morning was pretty much the same as mine, Bulldog.
Yeah, I tagged along with you and had the same experience.
I was a little bitch about it.
Carrying 20 pounds of gear.
Yeah, know? It was. And then this brings our day to our panel, which was at 1:30. So where are you at?
Now, I mean, well, they can watch the whole panel, you know, if they want to, or, you know.
They can listen to it. We don't have it on
the air. Listen to it, yeah. But yeah, you
should be hearing that in the feed before this. So
yeah.
Go back and listen to it if you haven't already.
It went great. It was a lot of fun.
This is great
feedback from an awesome crowd.
Oh my God. Yeah.
That crowd was fantastic.
And I tell you what was
all you guys who came out.
What was so cool for me is that when we do the live panels, we usually do food because they're interactive. You know, we've done 3 live shows now and we always have done food because it gives us feedback. We can interact, we can taste things and it's fun and you get the, you know, visceral reactions, et cetera. This was the first time we actually had done a structured, like how it stacks traditional style show.
Yeah.
Which was neat, you know?
Well, we had an audience that we knew were familiar with these movies.
Exactly.
You know, that helps out because everybody has an opinion on this.
Yep.
You know, it doesn't matter if it's the most reserved person in the world, you ask them Batman or Superman, they're going to have an opinion one way or the other.
Exactly.
You know? And so then you pack, you know, 40, 50 of those people,
40 to 50,
40, yeah. 40, 50 of those people into a room, about half of which are committed enough to come in costume.
Yeah.
And have an hour long discussion on who's better,
with
on
strangers.
Who wins.
And that's one thing I love about
it. It was so much fun.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is to put it in perspective, 40 strangers. And I guarantee you, none of them had heard about us, you know, other than like the giant.
There were a few.
Tagline that I wrote.
Daniel Etheridge was there. Jesse Smith, he was there. I'm trying to think of who else. All the guys from Mopcast, obviously.
Yeah.
I can't believe you're not going to mention Chris. That's fine, though.
Chris Ellis?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I did love Chris.
And Stephanie were there.
Hang on. But hold your thought. The Mick Foley story that I forgot to tell earlier.
Yeah.
I think it was Chris, maybe.
Ellis, yeah.
Showed me a video.
Yeah.
This is the kind of awesome person that Mick Foley is. He saw 3 people come in convincing cosplay who never stepped out of character every time I saw him at the convention. Every time I passed him in a hall, 3 people dressed as Spinal Tap with instruments. All right. Just walking around the convention in full character, you know, talking with the accents and stuff, you know, like, which that sounds like, you know, Smoker Ringo. But anyway, so he shows me a video of these 3 guys. They walked into the celebrity room and started playing a Spinal Tap song because they felt like they should have been in the celebrity room, which that's my assumption.
That's genius.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
That's borderline
genius.
Like, huh?
Yeah. Like that's what Spinal Tap would have done in that situation.
Who do I look like enough?
Yeah.
For next year.
Yeah. Like,
who can I pull off?
So they started playing a Spinal Tap song and Mick Foley got up and sang it with them word for word. If that is Chris that has that video,
it's Chris.
The guys, I bumped into the guys and I mentioned it to him and they were still in character, very, very interested to find out how they could see that video. So hopefully they'll listen to this. I told them about the show.
Cool.
Well, hopefully they'll check it out.
If it's available online, I will try to make a note to put that in the show notes. So in this episode, there should be a link if it's available.
That being said, if you or anyone you know is in any of our videos, please feel free to let them know and let them know where they can find it.
Yep.
Yes. Panel. Great stuff. It was incredible. You talk about 40 to 50 strangers coming in and watching us talk and interact with us about Superman versus Batman.
Yeah,
it was an amazing experience.
Yeah, it was a blast.
It was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Vicky was there, which was great for me, for her to get to see it and be a part of it, you know, and participate. The live poll that we did was fucking a great idea.
Thank you for that, Bulldog.
Yeah. Brilliant stuff, yeah. Bulldog.
I figured if we didn't have food to pass out, we had to do something to keep them involved.
It's hard to say who's professor. Because you did math for us.
Well, I love spreadsheets. I still need that t-shirt.
So I'll get it for you.
Was that was discussed in this group, right?
I don't think so.
No,
but I'll get it for you. I did get it added to. I get a shirt added to my pew pew collection. So I have a Star Wars pew 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 shirt, and now I have a Deadpool shirt that says pew 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 pew. So I need one more.
He's doing his like jump and shoot at the same time. Yeah, with two guns.
So I need one more pew pew shirt.
Need a Mega Man.
Yeah. I need one more pew pew shirt that I can have 3 days for a con so I can wear each day. So anyway, the panel was great, and when the panel wrapped, we went to lunch. We went to a lunch, and that was a funny story.
But we.
You went somewhere else.
Y'all went because y'all went to some like fancy pants restaurant to like have like celebratory lunch afterward.
Like three soul sisters.
I was like, screw that. I'm going to hit a panel. I went and got a hot dog and rode my bike around.
I think Scotty pulled up the name and we were like, I was sure. And then we took the gopher carts, which by the way are really cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how to. They're as cool as the bikes. I don't want to say they're cooler.
Yeah. You have to tip. Or you don't have to tip.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you have to tip.
You pay via tip. But
yeah, they don't charge you anything.
It's a golf cart that they'll come and pick you up. You just call them, like, all right, cool. I'll be there in 10 minutes. They come pick you up and take you anywhere else.
Yeah. It's awesome.
I don't think you realized how far the restaurant was.
No. Okay. So when they told us how far the restaurant was,
I looked it up on Google Maps and I was like,
dude, it wasn't that far of a walk.
Yeah.
However, when Apple Maps crashes in fucking Pensacola, it's a long ass walk. Let me tell you.
Well, there, right? Oh, there was your problem. You used Apple Maps.
Oh, good enough.
Yeah.
Get back to that argument. No, so like I typed in the address, and Vicky and I, we hadn't seen each other, and you know, like I'd seen her Friday, and so like we briefly saw each other before the panel, and so like we're like, I just walk and talk, you know, and so like I pull up Google Maps or Apple Maps, whatever, and it's like it sends us 10 minutes in the opposite direction. Right. And so when it finally like repositions and recorrects itself, we realize we're much farther away than we were. We're not near any place where we can like hail down a gopher cab. Card. And so we end up having to walk in this heat, carrying like our bags, cameras and shit. And by the time we get to the restaurant, we are drenched in sweat, you know, and the food was okay. But they did bring up a really cool point that even though they're on the outskirts of now, I want to argue this real quick, but we had met a hostess there, and she was telling us that they weren't getting busy because of the con. Everybody was in the town. And then my argument was, well, we wouldn't have been here not been for the con. So,
well, one table who came over the course of a weekend.
But that's how it starts. And I get that, too. But that's not a slight on the con or the con brings. That's a slight on them for lack of advertising for that weekend.
Not taking advantage of it.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, dude, if there's a million people going to be in an area, you bet your butt I'm talking about something to do with me or to get you there, whatever. So that was really cool. And then after that, I think we went back to the hotel. We chilled for a little bit just to recoup. At this point, we get to the cosplay contest. Yeah. We don't really talk our way backstage. We've done this for years prior.
No, we had to kill some time while they got stuff organized.
I met Carlos. We did some B-roll footage of the crowd outside. Yeah.
For the record, I was pretty much at the Sanger Theater from the time you guys sat down to your table until just before the costume contest. I left like right before you guys came to do the contest.
So we did the cosplay contest. Now that was interesting stuff, man. There was some badass epic costumes. I'm talking like shit. I couldn't even imagine. There was a horseman.
I think there's
a horseman.
Well, there's a term for a half man, half horse.
A centaur?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. It was a centaur mixed with a
like an elf,
like an ent. Like it was like half tree, half horse, half man.
Oh,
yeah.
That's too many halves.
No math.
So
anyway,
Before you guys get too crazy into the costume contest, so I went down as at this point I was dead set. I was because I'm a creature of habit. And as much as I tried to fight it, the whole time that I wasn't at a panel, I was like, damn, man, I should be at a panel. So as soon as we got down to there, I went down to the doghouse and had some awesome hot dogs. And I went to the Sanger and I caught
that might be my next cheap
man. the con man Q&A, which was the producer of Con Man. His name is PJ Harsman. It's got two A's. Harsma. Yeah. Yeah. I'll figure that out. But anyway, super, super nice guy. I spent some time at his table on Friday just talking about the show because I had never heard of it. And but he produced this show called Con Man, which is Nathan Fillion and Alan Tudyk from Firefly, Wash and Mal. And they play roles that mimic real life. So they were co-stars on a cult hit sci-fi show. And one of them has shot off to superstardom. And the other one is stuck in what the producer of the show called, in his own words, con hell. All right.
Yeah.
You know, going from convention to convention, you know, doing that. And everybody in the convention world is on this show. So it's genius the way he does it, because now he himself can go, the producer of this show can go to any convention anywhere and just schedule a panel with whoever's at the convention. At this one, because it was
the premise of the show is based on going to cons.
Yeah, so and at any given convention, he's going to have two or three names that he's had do cameos on the show.
Right.
In the first season, he said there's over 60 cameos.
Yeah. So pick a convention. There's probably somebody.
Yeah. There's probably someone there who was on the show at some point.
Right.
It's freaking genius. They have a really funny panel. It was him with Sean Astin, Sam from Lord of the Rings. Yep.
Rudy.
I tried to get a Rudy chant going. It didn't pick up as well as I'd hoped.
No.
And then Sean, I'm assuming his last name's Mar, because it's spelled like Bill Mar, M-A-H-E-R. Anyway, Simon Tam from Firefly. And super funny panel. They were just talking about the show and, again, doing convention stuff and stuff like that. It was a blast. And I stuck around after that one. I went to... And there was another one after that. That's right. I had to clear out of there to go and get ready for hashtag.
Yep.
Cause I had to get all my music gear set up and set up, move down there. So I headed down there, got the questions written, which you can find that stuff on the Mobcast Network.
Yeah.
I think they got the full show on there. That was a lot of fun.
It was, we definitely have full audio. I don't know if we got full video because of the way that the cameras record, but I know we have full audio.
Did you all capture the moment where Scotty cheated me out of one of the game winning points? Did y'all see that one? Or did that make
I caught you complaining about it.
Okay. I just want to make sure that something to do with that moment was
yeah, yeah. It was really hard to ignore your audio whining about it.
I just wanted to make sure. Here's the thing. When justice is done, justice is done. When injustice is done, it needs to be fixed.
It needs to be complained about loudly, and then you can
then justice it. Must be done.
Then justice must be done. Exactly. I just wanted to make sure that, you know, I don't want a next person to suffer like I did.
So you're saying you felt slighted, made a big deal out of it, maybe eventually you realize you're wrong and have to apologize.
Are you calling Stephanie's win illegitimate?
I am calling Stephanie's win what it is. A win. How she got it is not really the question. How I lost it is.
What?
Okay. we're gonna have to get you
this is like
on an episode somehow with Scotty, and we're gonna have to figure this out. Because this is our own internal controversy brewing.
Did she
tap your phones too?
She may have. I'm not gonna put it past her, and there's a chance the Russians were involved. No, in all honesty, I lost by more than one point, so it's not fair to say that I lost and or she won by one.
Oh, okay.
But I was frustrated when I lost that song point.
So you're saying you got your ass kicked, but you got your ass kicked slightly less badly than you feel you should have.
I think that's fair.
Or slightly more badly. Yeah, slightly more badly than you feel like
I think that's have. I think that's fair. Yeah. I think out of everything said tonight, that might be the fairest statement mentioned from you.
Oh.
But hashtag was a blast. Stephanie, congratulations.
Another great crowd We had a lot of the Pensacon brass.
Yeah.
That was, I guess you can call them that. I don't know what you call
them.
They
loved it, man.
But yeah, no, a lot of the Pensacon people were there and seemed to really enjoy it. A lot of them sat right in the front row and we're just cracking up with everybody. It was so much fun.
I will
thank
say,
you guys for coming.
I will say that I don't know what made me the instant heel of that panel,
but you played it.
Oh, I
you
loved
fucking
it.
Played
I
it.
Ate that shit up every minute. It was so fun.
It's because you were up against Stephanie, and Stephanie's adorable.
She is very adorable. Yeah. She's beautiful and sweet and kind, and I am none of those things. So that makes perfect sense. But it was oh my God, it was so much fun. And dude, and I can't give you enough props. The music stuff that you come up with for that show,
man,
is incredible.
Except for the actual questions in there, all the rest of that stuff was just off the cuff.
It was brilliant.
Well, Lee Whitaker couldn't make it to the show, and it was sort of last minute. So, like 15, 20 minutes before the show, Scotty was like, well, I'm just going to have to, you know, do the whole thing myself. I'm like, give me a script. I'll do it.
Yeah.
And, So I did all of that on maybe 15 minutes of prep time.
Dude, it was awesome.
Dude, it worked out so well. Oh, I had so much fun doing it. I can't wait to do it again.
Absolutely.
Man, it was a blast. All the little music stuff in the middle, and you know, I got a great laugh. I got to go back and find when it is in there. It was right after question one, and you started bitching about something or other. I don't know. I stopped paying attention when you start talking.
It happened a lot.
So you had said something, and you were being whiny McWine face. And I just slow head turn, look back at you right in the microphone and go, I said question two, sir.
Yeah.
And just everybody. It was great,
man. Dude, one of my favorite highlights from that was, and it's the only one I can think of now, besides making a kid cry, was, don't you remember that? I was yelling about something. And she got upset because of the volume. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
And the dad's like, it's fine. And it's fine. Like, no, I legitimately feel bad, bro. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was like, but in my defense, it is.
It's because screaming
at
scream face over here, you know, got a little too hot on the microphone.
It was Stephanie forgot Ghost in the Shell is the answer.
Yeah.
And the entire crowd is like,
everybody
pissed and viscerally upset. And they were trying to scream it. And I, in one breath, threatened an entire audience. I was like, I will kick all of your asses if you fucking say that answer. I will come down here.
Well, you didn't drop an F-bomb. We kept the language in check. We had a long discussion about how
we had
should
in check
keep
for our show, too.
Yeah.
So there were kids involved.
Did very well with the language.
I'm proud of you guys.
But hashtag was great. After that, we had decided to opt out of the parties this year, I think, because we were just exhausted.
Yeah.
And so we went to the liquor store, bought some whiskey, sat by the fire pit, had some cigars, and just shared some just cool stories and just hung out. God, it was a lot of fun, man.
I'm just going to, just in case somebody's listening, I'm just going to say cash beers is still a good idea. Yeah, throw it out there.
You can't cash steal beers? that. I can't forget. It's one of Vicky's friends.
Oh.
His idea, man.
No, I'm saying it's a good idea.
Yeah, but you can't steal it.
I'm not.
You just gave that idea to the entire world.
Nobody has any idea what I'm talking. Gabe's still confused.
I have no clue what you guys are talking about.
Yeah, but what if they put the pieces together?
What pieces?
Cash beer pieces. Do I need to give the business model out so people understand what you're talking about?
No, because you would be giving it away.
I'm kidding. Anyways, it was a blast. Saturday was a lot of fun.
Way too much rum.
You were in rare form, Bulldog.
You got
way too much rum.
I've not seen you that drunk.
I don't think I've ever seen you that.
It's been like three seasons.
You weren't falling down, but you were close.
Oh no, that's why we went to bed.
I will say this: it was very funny the next day because like I guess I'm an early riser, so I get up and I'm ready to go. We're doing our thing, and I'm getting cleaned up. And I'm like, all right, Bulldog, you ready? He gets up, and I think you'd moved around a couple, and then you text him, and you're like, I'm going back to bed.
Yep.
We were trying to get interviews done that morning, and you're like, I ate too much bad food or whatever.
yeah, bad food was the excuse.
Yeah, sure was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I got up pretty early that morning.
Yeah, and I got up and I had
And I went and floated around the convention.
That's one of my cool. That's one of my favorite memories came from. So I went around and I'm just scouting everything out. So Bulldog couldn't get there, so I was like, "Fuck it, I'm just going to walk around this con and have a good old time, dude."
The nice lady at the Residence Marriott was very kind. Was very kind to give us like an extra hour and a half to let you sleep off your hangover,
which is super sweet.
Really nice of them.
After that, I decided.
What was it right? Residence Marriott.
It was the Residence Inn.
It was a beautiful hotel.
Yeah.
So awesome. We go down. So I get to the con and I'm walking around. And at this point, I'm kind of putting together my coverage, right, of what I want to say, what I want to talk about. And the underlying theme was summed up in the video game room. And it was just how were people reacting to the con is kind of what I wanted to get this year, right? I didn't want to do panels. I was paneled out. There wasn't one that really drew my attention.
Voice actor theater.
Sorry. And holy so I walked shit. Into that room.
We've got video of that, by the way.
I walked into the room and it was so cool to see a room full of what I would assume were strangers, you know, for the most part. I'm sure there was some friends.
Well, there was the big Smash competition.
Yeah. And it was just I'm talking like giddy childlike excitement of playing games with strangers and people.
Yeah,
and
they were having a paid competition.
Yeah. And
I forget what the prizes were.
They were having fucking fun. They were having a great time. And then I just started thinking back to all the faces I saw coming into the con, all the people. And the theme was just everybody was having a blast. And man, it's so cool to see. Cause like, I mean, and I'm not going to get political, but I got so crushed by the hopelessness that this last political campaign brought that I'm pretty sure the world was going to end.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it was just so dismal, so depressing, so upsetting. I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, liberal, what the hell ever. It was God awful. And it's just been, I felt like this culture and society as a whole is just like terrible, fucking terrible, you know? And then I go to this convention and I get to see people truly be happy. Yeah. And it was awesome, man. Like these people playing video games, people in cosplay, people reading comic books, people fighting about t-shirts. I mean, like it was just, dude, it was awesome. It was so cool, man. And that was one of the highlights of my con. And that was before we even started the interviews, you know, and it was just neat. It was just fucking neat.
So celebrity story number two happened Saturday night. I was going to get, I think this was after ##. I had heard of this place in downtown Pensacola called Sumo Sushi that was supposed to have fantastic sushi. All right. It's right across the street from the Bay Center. And, so I ride the bike over there and I'm getting it to go, you know, cause I wanted to take it back to the hotel room, sit and watch Netflix and, you know, just kind of get the day off me. And, so I go in and I order my food and I'm just kind of sitting there. I'm watching the other people in the room, just like looking at people waiting for my sushi. And this one guy, he keeps catching my eye. Like I keep looking at him. He's got one of those faces that just draws your attention to it. You know what I mean? And
I do every time I look in the mirror.
Yeah. I'm just kind of scanning the room, watching people, and I keep crossing this one guy's eye line. So eventually we strike up a conversation. I forget who talks first, but we just strike up a conversation and I'm sitting talking to this guy. And just like everybody else I had talked to, I was like, so you enjoying the convention? You know, are you here for the convention? Or are you just, because it was a sushi restaurant. It could have just been somebody from Pensacola.
Exactly, get dinner.
Yeah. And I was like, are you here for the convention? What do you think of it? And he says, yeah, it's a really, really well-run convention. That's not something that somebody that pays for a ticket says.
Yeah.
You know,
not like, normally.
Not in those words. Not in those words. You know, they don't say it's a well-run convention.
Right.
You know, like I'm having fun or, you know, or yeah, I saw the greatest panel today or whatever. You know, so I'm like, oh, so are you with the convention? Or, you know, he's like, yeah, he doesn't throw me a bone at all for a little bit. Turns out he's one of the celebrity guests. It's Brian Thompson. From X-Files and Terminator and, the Cobra. Yeah.
You didn't recognize him?
I did not. Not in the slightest.
He's got the most distinct face.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying. He had this distinctive face that kept just drawing my eyes to it.
Yeah.
And so I'm assuming he sees me looking at him and thinks I recognize him. And he's trying to throw me a bone by, you know, by like just striking up the conversation and breaking the tension. Really nice guy. But it makes it 1,000 times more awkward because when I realize that he is one of the celebrity guests and I have no idea what his name is or anything he's done. Because I never got super into X-Files. I never got super into Buffy. I think he was on Buffy.
He was. Season one, I think he had about.
Yeah, so
about,
I mean.
He had a good episode run, but he didn't make it out of season one. Yeah.
So I'm having a conversation with a celebrity while I'm actively trying to figure out what his name is and what I've seen him in without looking at my phone. All right.
You're like, so hold on just
wheels,
a second.
No, the wheels snap are, yeah, because that seems rude.
You're like,
right?
Snap a picture, image search.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. That you, seems like such an asshole thing to do. Yeah.
Best way to handle it, just introduce yourself. Hey, I'm Jonathan.
Yeah.
Or and then wait, and then like.
He could have said, hi, my name's Brian. And I would have said, oh, hi, Brian.
I looked at with Carlos because somebody else gave me the hint that it was modern Ronald.
Oh. Yeah, this was after all the panels were done for the day. He wasn't with his publicist or anything. He was just sitting there eating some sushi.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting there and actively he sees the gears turning in my head, trying to figure out what I know him from. And eventually he throws me a bone and he's like, it's okay, man. You can Google me.
He says that shit to you?
Yeah, yeah. That's right. He says, it's okay. You can Google me. And I said what I said just a second ago. I was like, man, because I've never been in this situation before. Yeah. And so I'm like, man, I don't know. That seems rude to me. Like, I don't know. That seems like a rude thing to do. You know, right here in front of you, Google your name. And, you know, and just as quick as he could, it was funny. It makes him sound like a jerk, but it's not.
Yeah.
As quick as he could, he's just like, not as rude as making me recite my resume to you.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. Just burned. Like, oh, man, my face went hard red. Oh, man. I was just like, fair point.
Yep.
I still didn't Google him. I refused to do it. We talked about Pensacola and the city and the convention, and we talked about everything but his work.
So the one thing that I've held to, and this
super
is probably,
pleasant conversation,
why I don't get real excited about it, is like, unless I meet them, like if I'm on set and we're working together, or I bump into them at a con or I'm interviewing them, like I don't celebrity chase. I don't find out who it is. Like if I watch a movie and I like that actor, oh great, I like that actor, cool. And then I see him in another thing. Oh, I like that dude. He was in that movie. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
But I don't ever go home and like, who's this guy? Oh, that's Jeff. Okay. You know, I don't learn names. Even like I'm terrible with musicians.
Yeah.
Like you can walk up like, dude, that's the lead singer in Guns N' Roses. And I'm like, who? You know, like that's what he looks like?
Yeah.
No shit. Huh.
I mean, you know, I do, but that's because I, you know, respect artists.
Yeah. Well, okay, cool. Good for you. All right. I show my respect differently by buying their albums. What was the last album you bought?
The Crickets, local band.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
They're fantastic.
Yeah.
They've won awards. Their album was produced by Ben Tanner from the Alabama Shakes in Muscle Shoals.
That's a really good retort.
They kick ass. They're great. And so not only have I bought a CD recently, I support local music.
Yeah,
because I am local music.
I bought a Star City. That was a CD.
Yeah.
I bought recently.
Yeah,
and Blink 182. They're very local to Los Angeles.
Yeah. So Saturday night.
Yep. Cool. So anyway. Yeah, but for me, that's why I don't know any of them until like unless it's like something I've seen, you know what I mean, or anything like that. So it's always awkward. So I interviewed Tori from CW55. She was her Star Search winner. She's going to have a nice career going with CW55. That was a really cool interview. She's a lot of fun. We actually were in a movie together, which is actually how I met her. Yeah, that was a hysterical story. But that was fun. And then interviewed Captain Sparkliness as Cloud. We interviewed. Yeah.
Did she stay in character?
No, we didn't. Oh, it was very much about a cosplay interview. And then we interviewed QuestCon. Who else did we get that day? I felt like we got some more. I'm just not thinking. I can't remember. We interviewed Whitney Evans. Finally got her.
Again.
S. Usher Evans, I apologize, the author, who gave up a Washington, D.C. job to become a published author and is doing very well for herself.
I think since the first time we met her, the first time we met her was Pensacon year two.
Or one, yeah, one or two, yeah.
It may have been one, but she had just put out like her second book.
And now she's got,
and like, she's got like eight of them out.
She's got, got a rack of books, bro.
Oh yeah.
This girl's killing. Rack of books.
Rack of books, bro.
Rack of books, bro. I'm just trying to think who else we interviewed and talked to that day, but I mean,
talking about Sunday now?
No, you have to tell your Jubilee. Was she dressed as Jubilee?
Oh shit. High Thrall.
Yeah.
Okay. God. Yeah. Story. So we there's a ton of interviews from cosplay that we did. All of them were great. We had a lot of funny ones, a lot of fun ones. You know, Kyle, I think, was the horseman, his abs. We made fun of, we were like, the dude's like shredded up and he's like in this costume and he's like this tall. And so my face was right here by his stomach. So I did the interview. I'm like, this is Kyle's abs. That's Kyle. This is horse costume, you know, just having a great time with it. But High Thrall was one of the actual professional cosplayers they had come to do this.
Yeah.
And we'd actually met, when I took that picture of Spawn, you remember that one that I did with Spawn a few years ago? Mm-hmm. That was her.
I don't remember this.
Anyway, she was tagged in it. I figured it out from this Facebook memories. And so we'd interviewed her backstage at cosplay. Well, we were walking around the vendor floor and we saw her. And she's like, hey, guys, how are you? And she's dressed as Jubilee. And I'm like, hey, you look great. Too bad you're, you know, the most useless character in the X-Men universe. Like straight up. Like it didn't give a fuck.
Yeah. That was the start of the conversation.
I saw Jubilee walking around. Yeah, I thought it was a good costume.
It was great. I started it like that. And she goes, excuse me, Jubilee's not useless. And I was like, I tell you what, in front of all these people, I was like, I will do another interview with you right now if you can give me one example of how she's not just absolutely useless. Like, and everybody's like, oh, okay. And she's like, well, how about this? How about she short-circuited a nuclear missile's keyboard with her powers? And like gave me the full fucking story about how she did that. And I was like, huh. Jerry, well, kicked the lights on. Here's the microphone.
Because I'm carrying around the rig at this point. Yeah. So I'm like, she's going through the interview process, or she's going through the explanation. And I'm like, all right, cool. Well, I guess we're going to kick the gear on because here we go. Yeah.
And as soon as she did it, I was like, okay, do you want to step around here? You want me to come around there? And it was like everybody's laughing their shit off. Yeah. And so I start the interview out. And I'm like, hey, everybody, my name is JD, and this is me eating crow or something like that. And we've been doing another interview.
It was one
of
those times where I wish I had left the camera rolling like while we were just walking around so I could have caught that moment and then flicking on the lights and doing the actual interview because it would have been brilliant.
It was like she didn't even miss a beat. I apologized. I shook her hand. You know, obviously we're giving her credit. You can find her on Instagram, all that good stuff. She's got a cool feed, you know, where she's putting together new costumes. But it was just so funny because I was like, prove it, huh? She sucks.
And
she's
like, she did.
And she did. And I was like, all right, well, I'm a man of my word. So let's do this. You know.
So was this on Sunday or are we still talking Sunday? Saturday?
Yeah, Sunday. And I think after that, we had tried to get up with Kat, weren't able to do so just because of your scheduling stuff, my scheduling stuff, her scheduling stuff. And it just was whatever. We're meeting her.
Oh, it's the last day of a big con.
Yeah. And they were slammed too. And I know how busy she can get, you know, especially, I mean, on a fucking con. So yeah, we get it. And I think after that, dude, we actually bolted, went and got some coffee and tried not to fall asleep on the way home.
Yeah, I remember y'all. Yeah, y'all dipped out a little bit before I did. I stayed until the vendor floor closed.
Yeah, it was probably about 6. And then we left around 5.
It was 4:45, 5 o'clock.
Basically, from the time you guys left until the time I left, I was making my last run of the vendor floor, doing all my shopping. I picked up some really cool stuff. I got gifts for a lot of people, including, I guess I can just tell you guys. Yeah, I'll tell you guys on the air what I got you.
All right.
I got you guys matching Sonic screwdrivers.
What?
Matching Sonic screwdrivers.
To go along with my Doctor Who anthology crazy book. This is fantastic.
God dang right.
So, they're, I think, fourth Doctor. I think they're Tom Baker.
Tom.
Nice.
Fucking right.
I think they're Tom Baker. But yeah, I got you guys matching. I'll take it.
Shit.
So I had I wanted to get gifts for people this year. And so I went by the mystery box. The mystery box.
That's a really good idea,
man. Well, they've been doing it for every year they've done the convention, and it's always, I mean, it's just been a huge success at the convention.
Like, do you know that? Like, there's tiers of mystery boxes, which blows my fucking mind.
Yeah, I got one of the $60 boxes, one of the $30 boxes, and because you got two boxes, they gave you a third one free.
Yeah.
So for $90, I got a hefty box of stuff to pass out as gifts. I gave Scotty, or we gave Scotty the really big Conan, the Conan Guardian bust. Statue.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Guardian, the Conan statue. I got you guys sonic screwdrivers. I got my sister and her husband, a nice like cast iron, Walking Dead bottle opener.
Yeah.
It was a zombie's mouth.
Nice. That's cool as
it
shit.
It was cool as shit. Yeah, like there was all kinds of neat stuff in there, man.
I love like loot crate and stuff like that. Like I'm a sucker for shit.
I
like
did
that.
Really, really well on the t-shirts.
Yeah.
This year I did not slam down a bunch of t-shirts. I bought one for myself and one for someone else.
Bulldog got me a cool one.
Yeah. Well, we talked about it earlier.
The one I got is it's a tie-dyed Led Zeppelin shirt. Okay. Tie-dyed Led Zeppelin shirt. But instead of, you know, like with the angel with the arms up in the air and the wings spread right. out. But instead of the angel on this one, it is Fred Flintstone.
Yeah.
And he's doing the same pose and it says Fred Zeppelin.
Fred Zeppelin.
Nice. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I couldn't not get that one.
I want to get some Jetsons. I like the Jetsons more than I did the Flintstones.
Yeah.
I love the Jetsons.
Oh, yeah. I never thought about that, but you don't see as much Jetsons.
You don't. You don't see as much Jetsons and Voltron per capita versus, obviously Transformers. Yeah. You don't see a lot of either.
Yeah.
Which hopefully.
Because Transformers is better than Voltron.
Arguable.
No. I was kind of hoping so. Like I was hanging that bait right out there for you.
Arguable.
Congratulations on not taking it.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Yeah.
On the air. You're welcome. So I mean, as far as Pensacon goes, man, I'll go ahead and I'm just
does it stack up to years past?
Yeah, it does, man. And here's what's cool is as they continue to get bigger, I don't know how the hell they do it. I'm not honestly like and this is Mike, this is a message to you and your team. Brother, by all accounts, as spread out as you guys are, I don't know how you make it work. As a businessman, I don't get it. Like, I don't. Like, if I had to go here to do this and go there to do that and go there to do that, and it's all part of the same experience.
And it's all over downtown.
And it's all the shit over downtown. I wouldn't do it, and I don't think it would be successful.
And,
but
and still meeting, judging by Facebook stuff, still meeting celebrities at the airport in person.
In person. And Mike, but they did it. They continue to do it, and they continue
every year that the celebrities talk about how great
I would honestly put the Pensacon, you know what, let's put the Pensacon people in the White House. They might fix the country. You know, and I'm not trying to brown nose and I'm not trying to kiss ass, and I know it sounds that way, but I'll be damned, dude. Yeah. Like the logistics doesn't make sense to me. It shouldn't work, but it does. And this year it was bigger than last year and I felt less crowded.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even gonna lie. At one point, I was like, "Oh shit! I bet this is the year it goes downhill."
No.
More numbers than the year before. No. They just got it down to an art form.
I think this year may have had the biggest line.
Yeah.
The will call line on Saturday was bad. Now, admittedly, yeah, but every con has lines. That's nothing new. My advice, never, ever, ever get will call tickets for something like this.
You can go to a music concert and lines are bad.
Yeah.
So it's like and you're not talking 30,000 people.
Yeah.
Like,
and that's the thing is a lot of, that's the kind of thing where you tend to have a paper ticket.
Right.
Paper ticket. In this, you have to pick up a pass.
Right.
And so a lot more people do will call. And so if you guys hadn't have taken the initiative and gone down and gotten the stuff early this year so that I didn't have to mess with it, it would have been tough for me to get in and get the media stuff all set up and get all that. In years past, I always go down there one day before and take pictures of the line and stuff like that because this year I had a show.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't do it the day before.
My only gripe.
Now, I will say that was the will call line. The line to purchase tickets, 20 people, 30 when I walked by, which was shortly after, shortly before the video I posted on Facebook.
I will say my only gripe is the media parking thing. And I don't know if it's,
because you were dumb enough to try to park a car at Pensacon.
Well, it's not that, but it's like,
I'm just gloating.
I don't understand. Like, and you're in right to obviously, but I don't know, how that works. And I don't know if it's every person who requests a pass gets a pass or if they got per, per media outlet. They get X. I don't know. But the lot, again, like, it's just, it's slammed. You know what I mean? And it's like, okay, cool. So, I mean,
Last couple of years, I haven't had any problems with it. The one day that I parked in the media lot, it was
early,
easy.
Dude. You just got to get there early. If you're going to, this is going to sound terrible, but if you're going to do
that,
your
and they
job,
also had a big chunk of that. They had a big chunk of that outdoor off. Parking yeah. lot at four con related activities,
yeah, which I didn't anyway, but, I completely lost my train of thought, but whatever. Anyways, I liked the con. It was good. It was fun. I don't really have any gripes other than the parking thing.
Your biggest gripe is parking, you have no gripe.
Exactly, right? You know what I mean? Like, and not even, it wasn't the logistics. If I wanted to go somewhere, I could take a bus, rent a bike, I could take the gopher carts. Like, I mean, fuck, wherever I wanted to go, there was like 3 to 4 different modes of transportation.
You didn't even mention the trolleys.
Trolleys? Yeah. I mean, Jesus, dude. So, I mean, and I'm sure if I could have paid somebody, they'd have carried me on their back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like,
you could have gotten in touch with Kyle and ridden on his back.
Yeah, exactly. Horseman. Right,
I had a blast at this thing. Just tooling around Pensacola on a bicycle for 3 days was refreshing in and of itself.
Just
floating around down there, talking to people. Experiencing the food downtown, and that's the thing is that this convention does that for all of those businesses downtown.
Yeah.
I mean, there are, do we have any numbers on attendance?
I don't have
28,500. I want to say was
28,500. That sounds familiar.
It's the last figure that I remember seeing. It could be from a Dave Matthews Band concert. It could be from a.
Well, it rings a bell. Not accurate by any stretch of the imagination.
When my first film came out, I believe that was the number of people that saw it in one theater.
Well, let's go back to the impact of Pensacon and Pensacola. So it's not only a weekend impact, the purveyor of bikes. So he mentioned that there were people who they do tours or something, right?
Yeah.
So, but they not everybody who was down there for Pensacon could get a tour because you want to go to panels and everything else. Yeah. But there were people who mentioned like, holy crap, we didn't realize Pensacola had so much rich history. Like, we're gonna come back.
It's an old city.
Well, but
you guys heard they found bodies of like some of the really, really early North American settlers. Like some of the first Spanish to come down here, they found remains.
No,
in the basement of a coffee shop. I think it was a coffee
shop.
Wonder
if it's Fosco.
No, it's not Fosco.
I'm joking because
they've been finding ancient stuff there for a couple of years now.
But the cool part is people came here for Pensacon and wanted to rent a bike for $10, found out some really cool history, and they're going to come back to learn about the history of Pensacola because of a Comic-Con event.
Yeah.
It's going to bring back, I want to use the word residual, but it's probably not the right word, but you know, you're going to have an additional impact later on.
Yeah.
That isn't counted with that initial
return customers, if you will.
But it's not just a once a year impact.
Yeah.
So Pensacon, year four, JD, how would you stack it?
I loved it, man. It was great.
Okay. I would wholeheartedly concur.
Yeah.
It was a fantastic weekend. Outside of my nerves about having to leave early to have a baby.
Yeah.
Was a great weekend.
Yeah.
So nothing against Pensacon. It was just nerve wracking. To realize I was an hour away from my wife who might be going into labor.
Yeah,
I remember your face.
Yeah.
Now, dude, it was a blast. It was fantastic. The convention just gets better and better every year. Go. Oh, speaking of which, did you guys see the, they've already announced people for next year.
Oh, you're talking about Pete and Pete?
Yeah.
Oh.
Pete and Pete.
Yes, sir.
The Adventures of Pete and Pete. Pete and Pete are going to be there. I'm pumped.
It sounds like they have a podcast that I was not aware of, and I need to check this out.
Yeah, I want to hear Pete and Pete talk about stuff.
I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. Lou Ferrigno is going
to
be there.
They need to make a reunion for Pete and Pete and have Artie there, if he's still, I hope he's still around, but they need to have Artie come.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be great.
I don't know if he's still around or not.
I don't know.
See, who else was there? Lita from WWF.
She'll be there.
Or E. Is it F or E?
It's E now. The F got out.
Well, I mean, but when Lita was in it, was that
WWE? I think honestly, she may have been around when the E came into play, but it was she was very much, she started in the Attitude Era, which is F.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
anyway, so that'd be
it's a unanimous stack. It's a unanimous stack.
No, they would have to do some catastrophic stuff to not.
Again, just want it on the record.
Yeah. I had a good time.
It's like Keaton Batman. It holds up.
It does.
Because Batman did win.
Yes.
He did.
In case for some reason you didn't go back and listen to the other episode from our live episode.
I saw it. As soon as I booted up Superman, I was like, yeah. Yeah.
That was neat. You know what I mean? The live polling thing that you set up for that was really cool too.
Great.
I'm glad it worked out.
It was great.
We should wrap this.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm JD.
Willis.
Bulldog.
This was an How It Stacks special. Pensacon 2017.
Did you say and How It Stacks?
Maybe.
Probably.
I'm very tired.
Good night, folks.